So today we're going to talk about marriage intimacy. How many of you are married? How many of you are not married? The rest of you, you don't have to raise your hand. It's okay. But this message is for both of you today. So for those that are married, those that want to get married, anybody want to get married? Yeah, a few of you, all right. So why don't we stand today? We're going to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 1 through 9, and it's titled Instruction in Marriage. Beginning at verse 1, it says, "Now regarding the questions you asked in your letter, yes, it is good to abstain from sexual relations, but because there's so much sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman should have her own husband. The husband shall fulfill his wife's sexual needs, and the wife should fulfill her husband's needs. The wife gives authority over her body to her husband, and the husband gives authority over his body to his wife. Do not deprive each other of sexual relations unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so you can give yourselves more completely to prayer. Afterward, you should come together again so that Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I say this as a concession, not as a command, but I wish everyone were single just as I am. Yet each person has a special gift from God of one kind or another. So I say to those who aren't married and to widows, it's better to stay unmarried just as I am. But if they can't control themselves, they should go ahead and marry. It's better to marry than to burn with lust." Wow. I'll let somebody else preach this for me if you want. Hallelujah, Father. Lord, as we come before you today in your word, God, I pray that we could open up our hearts to hear from heaven today, God. That you would speak to us, Father. Lord, that we'd have greater understanding as we go through this time. And Father, that you would strengthen and encourage each one of us. And Father, if there's anyone here that wants to be married, that you'd bring them that person, Father. We thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, as we've been going through Corinthians, and there's, you know, he really hits on the sexual immorality in here. And I know it was a thing of that day, and we see it's a thing of this day too. You know, Paul is dealing with the Corinthians, and in Corinth, there was the goddess Aphrodite, and she had three temples there, and they had temple prostitutes there. So, you know, they had over 1,000 prostitutes at the temple. So when somebody gets born again, you know, if they've been going to that and they got born again and they come into the church, you know, we have to learn that when we come to Jesus to let go of the things of the world. Can I hear an amen? We've got to learn to let go. You know, I've seen big crusades in India. I've done meetings in India, you know, and people are in India, the Hindus, they will accept Jesus and they'll go home and they'll put him on the shelf with the 330,000 other gods that they have. You know, because, you know, but it's learning to forsake the things that we learned in the world and to go only for Jesus, amen? To go for God alone and to let go of those other things. And as I was been praying about this passage here, God's just been speaking to me about what Paul is trying to do to us. He's trying to renew our focus. He's trying to get our focus off of the things of the world and on Jesus. Because we can get so consumed with going on around us that we miss what God wants to do in us. We miss what God wants to do through us. As I said a little bit ago, you know, the man complained, "God, why don't you do something?" And he said, "I did. I created you." We got to get into that mode that we were created to do things for God. Amen? We're not just created to come to church once a week, although I appreciate you coming today, but you're not created just to do this. You're created for great things. He said in John 14:12, he said, "If you believe in the works that I do, you will do also, and greater works than these you will do." So how many of you feel you're doing greater works than Jesus did? Okay, so we got a little bit of work to do, okay? We got a little growing we can do. There's room for growth today, amen? Because if we're going to grow into what Jesus did, we've got to renew our focus. I got to get my mind off of Ron King. I got to stop looking in the mirror and saying, "Yeah, you're just Ron, went to Corona High School, wow." You know, no, I'm a born-again child of God. I'm called. I'm anointed, amen? I've been appointed by God to do a work of the ministry. And that's where you got to get to yourself. You got to know you're called, you're appointed, and you're anointed to do the things that Jesus did. So you got to stop. You stop wondering. You got to stop wandering in your thinking, and you got to get in line with what God says about you. Because as you line up with God, it's amazing what He'll do. Because everywhere you go, you know, I went to the Day Car Museum the other day. Yet last night was my 40-year class reunion. I had a friend come down, and he called me. He said, "Hey, I got a pass to go to the museum here. You want to go?" Because they've closed it pretty much to the public now. I said, "Okay." So we were in there, and I prayed when I got up in the morning. I said, "Lord, I'm believing for a divine appointment today." And so as we were walking around, the guy that was showing us, he just holding his side like this, always like this, and he just, I'd see him kind of wince in pain a little bit, you know. I mean, them cars were beautiful, you know, but I started watching him. And so I asked him, I said, "Are you okay?" And he said, "No, actually I have stage 4 cancer. Just I have a colostomy bag and it's really irritating me right now." I said, "Man, I am so sorry. And here you are taking your time to give us a tour." He goes, "I'm okay." He goes, "I'll sit down if I need to." I said, "You know, I was in the Amazon River jungle last week. I prayed for a young man that was deaf in his right ear. And I just snapped my fingers and I said, 'Be open.' And his ear opened up by the power of God. I said, 'Can I pray for you right now?' And he's like, 'Yeah, okay.' And so we prayed and he just, tears just started falling, you know. And I don't know what happened to him. I'm going to follow up with him if I can. But my friend that invited me, he goes, 'Dude, how is it that you got that guy to let you pray for him?' He goes, 'I know that guy. That doesn't happen.' I said, 'It's the love of God. It's responding, because when he told me he had cancer, the Lord told me, I want you to pray for him.'" You see, if you never take the chance to step out, you won't get there. You'll just be that guy that goes to Centennial High School. You'll be that guy that goes to Lee Pollard. You'll be the guy, "Well, I go to Corona, or I go to San Diego." You'll just be that guy. But if someday you're going to be that guy, or you're going to be that gal that says, "I'm going to wake up to the things of God, and I'm going to start doing what He says." You know, because He whispers to you, Pastor Jesse. He just tells you things to do. And as He's whispering to you, it just comes, and you're like, "Okay, I'm just going to do it." And you start stepping out, and you start doing what God says. I know this has nothing to do with marriage intimacy, except when God tells you to love your spouse, amen, Robert? He tells you to bless her. He tells you to care for her. He tells you, you know, the Lord tells me, talk to her. And sometimes I'm at home, I'm quiet. She's like, "You better talk to me." Yes, ma'am. But the Holy Spirit will tell you. And just following His lead. You know, if we follow the lead of the Holy Spirit, our marriages would be good. I met a woman in China. I was in a little bit of trouble at the time. And she came to me. I mean, she's a little lady, and she had a jacket with a hoodie, and she wanted me to have a hoodie because I needed to kind of hide out. And she tried to put that jacket on me. You know, the sleeves came down to here, you know. And I'm like, "Yeah, this ain't happening." But she told me, "Robert," she said, "I'll give my life today for you to get away." She says, then she tells me about her life. She says, "I have a beautiful 16-year-old son that I've raised." She said, "I met a homeless man." She goes, "I was a supermodel in China. And I met a homeless man. And the Lord told me to marry him. And I did. And we have this beautiful son now." She says, "But I'll lay it all down for you to get away today." I'm like, man, I started crying. I'm like, that's too much. She was serious. She took all the money she had and she stuffed it in my hands. She's like, "I want you to get away." But the part that hit me was that she married a homeless man because the Lord told her to. And they produced this great son, she said. She was so happy for it. See, so marriage intimacy comes out of hearing from God. Can I hear an amen? It comes when you're listening to Jesus. I don't even know what my next point is, but This is why we need to hear from heaven, amen. We need to renew our minds constantly. Because if we don't renew our minds, we're not going to get where God wants us to be. If I come at my wife with the same old thinking I had when I was 18 when I met her, on my birthday, 25th of September, it was 40 years ago that we met. And if I still walked in that mindset, well, she'd be beating me up every day. Amen, Carol says. But, you know, the Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to the world. Everybody say, don't. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for us to prove the good and acceptable will of God. And the good and acceptable will of God is within you, and you just got to let it come out. Amen? We got to stop holding back in it. So even today, as we come to Jesus, we need to continually renew our minds. We need to be about the Word every day. We need to be getting it in us. And as we learn and we grow in Christ, listen, when you come to Jesus, you're forgiven of everything. Can I hear an amen? Everything you ever did. But not everything goes away. You know, because you got mindsets. You got things that got to change in your mind. And you get set on a certain way of doing things. And we think, well, that's the way we do things. That's the way my grandparents did it. That's the way my mom and dad did it. That's the way I did it. And we don't know, Pastor Jesse, that the way we've been doing it is wrong. So we got to change those mindsets and renew. And as I've been renewing my mind, and I do this every day, renew my mind. I get into the Word every day. And things still dropping off. Things are still changing. Amen. I'm still growing. I'm not beyond growth. I'm never going to get there till I get there. Can I hear an amen? And one day we're going to get there. But I know this, history repeats itself. And as we dive into this passage, and you think about your marriage or you're thinking about getting married, don't let your parents' marriage be your only guidance. I mean, when Delonda and I were young, our marriage was jacked up. I thought, you know, we would be divorced by 7 years and that'd be it. But God saved us. God redeemed us. He changed things. He changed me. Hallelujah. But don't let your parents' marriage dictate what your marriage is today. Amen. Look for some other people to give you counsel on marriage. Amen. Because a lot of times we grow in our marriage through trials, and them trials aren't always easy. They're tough sometimes. It's real tough. I know Lon and I have had some tough challenges in our lives and with each other, you know, with just family and stuff, and it's learning to grow through the trials, amen? So Paul jumps right in, though. He says, listen, you're asking the question, I'm going to answer. Number one, it's better to abstain. Okay? If you're single, don't mess around. If you're single, don't mess around. Oh, I got one amen from a married person. Come on! If you're single, don't mess around. Abstain. Paul's thought is abstaining from sexual relations is a good thing, amen? Because we know what the Word says. We know what I've been talking about the last couple of weeks. If we continue in those things and Jesus comes, we're not going to go where? Heaven. We're not going to go with Him. We'll be left behind. So we've got to learn to abstain. But he says, but because of the sexual immorality, you should get married. You should get married. I got married at 19. Praise God, we're coming up on 39 years, right? 39 years. It's coming up. Yeah. Amen. But has it been all easy, hun? No. But hey, when you're thinking about marriage, men marry women. That's it. There's only two genders, man and a woman. As Jesse Duplantis said one time, just check the plumbing. You'll know whether you're a man or a woman, amen? And that's what a man marries a woman. Nothing else is right in the eyes of God. And listen, God is not evolving. We're evolving to God, amen? We're evolving to get rid of the sin in our lives. We're reading Jeremiah right now, man, and as we've been going through Jeremiah in the morning, wasn't it something this morning, Scott? Oh my gosh. He God just keeps giving the people chance after chance after chance. He's like, if you just repent and turn to me, you know, then I'll let you stay in the land. But you're not going to stay in that land if you don't repent. You're not going to, you know, that temple is not going to save you. Just because you have a temple to God, you're not worshiping God. You've defiled the temple. He said, you got to stay with me. And that's the thing. We have to stay with God. Amen. Whether you're single or you're married. But once you start down that path of not abstaining, it's really hard to get back to abstain. I just think about Adam and Eve in the garden. They ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God said, God put you out of the garden, man. Because he know they'd start eating of that tree of life and they'd live forever in sin. And God said, can't have that happen. You see, because once you taste the fruit, you want to keep eating. And you can't. You can't and get where God wants you to be. Don't feed your life with sexual content to stir it up within you. Avoid those things. Avoid those things. And if you do get married, remember that number two, that marriage is a two-way street. It's not just, you know, please the man. It's not 50-50. It's 100%, 100%. The Lord has to give 100%. I have to give 100%. Amen. You go all in with your relationship. There's no just part way in. There's going all in. There's no room for being selfish in a marriage. Can I hear an amen? You can't be selfish in marriage and have a good marriage. I mean, Talanda lets me know every time that I'm selfish. Okay, Pastor. You do, don't you? So, you know, but the key is in a marriage, you want to meet each other's desires. Amen? You want to love each other. You want to show each other how you love. And the key, though, in this is not letting the enemy in there. Not letting the enemy of your soul get into your marriage. You know, you don't bring pornography into your marriage, amen? You don't expect your husband or wife to be something that you've been watching on the side. Amen to that. Thank you, Pastor Jesse. You don't allow that into your life because it's just going to create tension. I read an article this week. It's called Pornography, A Distortion of God's Plan. This is what the writer says. He says, he's going through Corinthians here, the writer, he says, the sexual immorality category includes pornography because it introduces an outside person or persons in the man and woman marital relationship ordained by God. So with pornography, although no overt act has been committed with the person in the picture, Jesus warned his disciples that whoever looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery in his heart. Additionally, porn addiction, as it progresses, commonly leads to a physical act with a real person. I've never heard it so quiet in here. Now, he goes on to say this. The lie is the same one used in the garden. Satan is suggesting that God is keeping something good from us. Usually it begins with thoughts somewhat innocent sounding, such as, women are beautiful. Why shouldn't I be able to admire a beautiful woman? However, pornography, like all addictions, tends to progress toward a destructive end. And these seemingly innocent beginnings, but God's original design for human sexuality is within the boundaries of marriage, husband and wife. Amen? And it far surpasses anything that Satan could ever offer. And he goes on to write, he goes, why is pornography so enticing? In the same way that Adam was tempted to eat the forbidden fruit in Genesis 3, so men and women today are tempted to sin by looking at pornography. As I've told you last week, they say that 60 to 80% of men look at pornography. And they say 40 to 60% of women look at pornography. And the age that it starts at in the study that I did this week is 12. The biggest abusers of pornography are those between the ages of 12 and 16. We have an issue. It says, don't be deceived. Oh, let's see. Let me back up here. But as James says, each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. So, pornography leads to... I didn't say it, you did. It's great, you helped me preach. I like that. He says, don't be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So, it's something that within us that that comes out that brings that desire for these things of the enemy. So as with Adam and Eve's temptations, Satan subtly disguises his distortion of God's plan for human sexuality. And he does. For one thing, pornography can be very hard to define. Some of it's perfectly acceptable with today's society. I mean, have you ever watched a Carl's Jr. commercial? You know, it's like, ah! It's porn in both ways, huh, Delanda? That hamburger and that woman. You know, for example, think about what you watched last night on TV. Let's take a moment and think about it. Were there any images that introduced an outside person that maybe gave you erotic thoughts? What about the billboards along the highway? Were there any images that you received that caused you to think about another person lustfully beside your spouse? Once a person becomes climatized to this type of acceptable pornography, it's easy to take the step to the next level. So thanks to the internet, pornography is accessible to everybody. Your kids, they got phones, they got tablets, and if you're not guarding it, you're not watching it, you're not protecting them, they're seeing it. Like I said, the average kid starts at 12. Very accessible. Pornography is a sin designed to draw people away from God, entrapping them into slavery in their own desires. And the biggest thing about the pornography and watching it as a man or a woman of God is the guilt and the shame that the enemy will bring to you. We'll tie you up with that. Wow. We don't want to go there, amen? We don't want to go there. If you've gone there, you just need to repent. And that's why we need to renew our mind, amen? You need to renew your mind, ask God to take away them pictures, take away them thoughts, and you need to get right with God, amen? You need to get back in line with Jesus, amen? Just repent and move forward. Say, is it that easy? Maybe it's not that easy, but it's a good place to start. Amen? It's a good place to start. You may say, Pastor, I tried. You know, keep trying. Don't give up. Amen? Don't let the enemy think this is okay to have this one thing in your life. It's okay. No, it's not okay. Get rid of it. Repent and move forward with God. Renew your mind constantly. You know, confess to somebody. I remember Louis, man, he does these big prayer movements across the world, and when he was younger and he was hooked on pornography and he was an elder in the church, and he said, you know, if I ever watch pornography again, bring me in front of the church and point me out. Because he did not want to do that. Amen? He did not want it. And nobody wants to go down that path of destruction. You know, whether we're single or we're married, well, if you're single, you don't want to bring it into your marriage. If you're married, you don't want to bring it into your marriage. Amen? You want to just continue to grow with Jesus. We want to let the fruit of the Spirit, self-control, be alive in us. Amen? And with the whole Spirit working in us, number three, don't withhold from each other unless in agreement. If you're married and you come into agreement for a time of prayer and fasting, that's okay that you're not going to be intimate with each other. And unless self-control is an issue. If you're having a problem with self-control, then don't do it. All you men should have said amen. Come on, you guys wake up out there. And then, you know, if you come into an agreement, don't make it a long agreement. You know, what's too long? How long should you say, we're going to go without? How long should you say it? Don't go longer than you can do. Amen? It's that simple. You guys, man, why, Pastor, are you talking about this? I'm talking about this because the world's telling you all about it. It's about time the church told you about it too. Amen? The church needs to talk to you about it so you don't get caught up in the world's way of doing things. So don't go past what you agree to. Number two, don't let the enemy get in there. Number three, be honest with your mate. Hey, I'm struggling. We need to come together. Let grace abound in your relationship. Let grace abound. You know, if your mate is struggling, they need to come together. Don't think, oh, you're so evil. No, they're a man or a woman that desires to be with their mate. And remember, your body's not your own in the marriage. Your body should not be used to control the relationship either. I heard one amen. All right. I'm moving on. And we've already gone through, you know, that sex outside of marriage is not a good thing. It's not healthy for you because it says those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen? So then number four, he says, stay single if you can. I couldn't. I got married at 19. I need to be married. I'm happy to be married. I love being married. I'm going to stay married the rest of my life. Hallelujah. Amen, honey? Or the rest of your life, one of the two. But Paul's thinking, when you're single, you can do whatever God tells you to do. If he says, hey, go here, go there, do this, do that, you don't got to check with anybody. You know, I mean, I remember when I started my business, because I used to have an injection mold making company before, and I called Delonda, you know, on the cell. This is back when cell phones were just coming alive, you know. I called her, I said, honey, I quit my job today. I'm starting my own business. And she's like, it's about time. I'm like, really? She's like, yeah, I'm so glad. I'm so happy for you. I said, wow. I said, then one time, Pastor Dave asked me to be youth pastor. And I was like, ugh, I didn't want to be youth pastor, you know. And the Lord told me to do it. He said, you will do this. So I tell you otherwise. So I told Delonda, I said, the Lord told me we got to do it. And she's like, okay, I'm with you. Lord says we're doing it, you know. And I said, the Lord wants us to move to China. Okay, we're doing it. You know, the Lord wants us to, okay, we're doing it. And she tells me, the Lord says he wants us to do this. I said, okay, we're doing it. You know, it's that we, as a married couple, have learned to trust the God in each other so that we're able to roll with each other, so that we're able to do what God is saying. But if you can't do that, you need to stay single. If you're set in your ways and you want to do things your way, you don't want anybody to tell you what to do. You ladies, if you don't want to submit to a man, don't get married. I've done marriage, premarital counseling with older ladies that getting married, and man, when I get to that part about submitting, they're like, because I told one lady, I said, you know, I think I'm going to put that in the vows, that you'll submit to your husband. She goes, you better not. Because this is, you know, the older we get, it's hard. It's hard to come under somebody, amen? It's hard when you've been single, ladies, and you're not married, and then you want to get married, and then the Bible says, Pastor, that the wife should come under her husband and submit to her, but us as husbands should love our wives as Christ loved the church. If you're not ready to love a woman the way that Jesus did, then don't get married, amen? If you're not ready to come and submit to your husband, don't get married. Stay single. Just do what God is telling you to do. Go where he tells you to go, amen? Don't get in debt. Don't get entangled in everything, but have that liberty to do what God is saying. When God says, hey, you need to go with Pastor Ron to Africa, you need to go to Pastor Ron to the Amazon, and you can say, yeah, I'm free. I can do that. I don't got to ask anybody. My problem is I asked Alana, she says, yeah, go. I'm like, oh, man. I needed somebody to say no. She says, hey, maybe you could do a man's trip to the Amazon River and go back in the jungle. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds like fun. I don't know. Only time she ever told me no was when I wanted to go to Pakistan. She's like, no, I got to hear from heaven. But once she heard from heaven, she would have bought the ticket for me. See, but if you're single, think about what's going to happen when you get married. Because when you get married, you don't own yourself. You know, we do always do that candle lighting. You know, and they blow out that candle that they light that center candle with. Because it's like, I'm doing away with me, and I'm going to be submitted to you. And it's two-way street, right? You know, it says in Ephesians, submit one to another. And so that's how we've been in marriage. We're submitted to one another. But if stay single if you can. Stay single. But if you can't, number five, I'm almost done. If you can't stay single, if you can't refrain, then what? Get married. Get married. Don't mess around on the side. Just get married. Find that man or that woman you like and marry them. You know, I deal with a lot of societies where they arrange marriages. And I know people just here, they just freak out about that, you know. And I remember when we had a Romanian gypsy congregation, and they married their daughters off at 16. They're like, we're not going to deal with this issue, you know. And the pastor said, they're beautiful girls, man. We can't just let them run and date people and everything. We're not going to do that. We're just going to get them married. And they arrange a marriage. The parents come together and agree, and they arrange. You know, when we were in Africa and Uganda, in Uganda, the man has to give a dowry. You know, and I've had so many guys say, Pastor, can you help me? And I say, with what? He said, I have to give a dowry. I said, well, how much of a dowry do you have to give? Well, I have to give 5 cows. I'm like, well, brother, if you can't afford to give that dowry, maybe you shouldn't get married. Because how are you going to take care of that woman once you get married, right? And they're like, you mean you won't help me? I'm like, no, I'm not going to help you. They can't believe I won't help them because, my business is not about helping you. If you want me to do the wedding ceremony, I'll do that. And if any of you here say, I want to get married, I'll marry you right here. You know, you just go get a license and we'll do a nice little ceremony right here. I'll come, I'll be the cameraman. But get married if you can't control yourself. Don't live in lust, amen? Don't live in lust. But you got to have a list for what you're, if you're going to get married. You got to have a list of what you're looking for. Number one, they must be born again. They have to be born again. Number two, they don't have to be handsome or pretty. I got no amens on that, man. Because listen, if you're going to marry them for their looks, looks fade. Right? Let's just look around. Look at me, man. I'm not the same guy I was 38 years ago when you married me, am I? One of the things, I'm more handsome now, hallelujah. But you know what? Our looks fade. We get heavier. I'm 100 pounds heavier than when I got married. So you don't marry for looks, because our looks are gonna fade, amen. But marry because you met someone you could live the rest of your life with. Do you ever argue, Robert? You do? She's like, not that much, not that much. Rob, you ever argue with Terry? He doesn't even want to answer. He's just like, Jesse, you ever argue with Angela? Yeah, absolutely. I argue with Delana. It doesn't do me good. I'm not a good arguer. I always lose.
Pastor, I like to call it intense fellowship.
Intense fellowship. How many of you couples have intense fellowship? Some of you won't raise your hand no matter what, will you? I like intense fellowship sometimes. It's just fun. But if you want to get married, make sure you have clean hands and a pure heart. You can't control other people, but you can control yourself. You can set precedence for where you're going. And if you're already married, do it well. Do it well. Bring an end to the petty disagreements. Some stuff's not worth fighting for, man. Learn to love. Learn to love. And as you learn to love, and listen, if you're single, God will do a work in you if you let Him. He'll bring you the right person. I know He will. Because Paul says, get married, God will bring you the right person. So just get ready. Let's pray. We're going to take communion in a few minutes. The worship team comes. Dear Heavenly Father, we give You praise for this day. We thank You for this word, God. And Lord, whether we're married or single, Lord, we want to do it right, God. We don't want to let anything of the enemy get in and bring division in our lives, Lord, bring separation in our marriages, or Lord, to distort what You want to do in our future marriages, God. Lord, we don't want the enemy to have a hold in any area of our lives, God. But Lord, we want to glorify You. And Lord, as we've talked through this, and Lord, it's a tough thing, Lord, because some marriages may not be that good today, and some people may really want to be married, and it's been a tough battle, God. But Lord, You're with us, and You're for us. And keep your heads bowed, please, for a moment. Maybe you're here today and you say, hey, Pastor, our marriage has been tough lately, and we've been going through a rough patch, and you'd like me to pray for you. I'm not going to point. Just raise your hand and wave at me. Amen. 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 Anybody else? Okay. Maybe you're here today and you're single and you desire to get married. You know, I want to pray for that right mate for you. If that's you today, just wave at me so I can pray for you. You're single, you want to be married. Okay, amen. 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 Praise God. Well, Father, we just lift up our marriages to You today, God. Lord, we surrender them to You, and I pray that, Lord, that in our marriages, God, we'd not be selfish. Lord, You showed me a long time ago that if I just stopped being selfish, I'd have a great marriage. So, Lord, I pray that You help us to not be selfish with each other in our relationships, God, but, Lord, that Your hand be upon our marriages. And I pray, Lord, that those that desire to get married, Lord, that You'd bring them the right person, Father. Let it be a godly person, Lord, one that loves You with all their heart. And Lord, that they'd be compatible, Father God, to grow in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that You bless our single people that desire to be married with the right person, Father. I pray, God, that You open the windows of heaven to them, Father God. Lord, as they give to You, Lord, that You'd sow back into their lives that godly person. Lord, I pray that You give us all Your strength in all that we do. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Ron, I just need Jesus today. I just need to commit my life to Christ. I need to walk with Him. If that's you, just raise your hand so we can pray for you. You need to make a commitment to Jesus today. If that's you, raise your hand and wave at me and I'm going to pray for you. Okay, I don't see any hands. So that means everybody believes in Jesus today. Hallelujah. So then we're ready for communion.